You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, August 18th, 2025. Glad to have you along from the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison, where it's a little wet. Drizzly skies right now. Some thunderstorms rolled through earlier, and I know checking from the weather radar, parts of Wisconsin continue to receive wet weather today and will do so through the afternoon. At least parts of Wisconsin, some of those storms may be heavy rain, and of course, much of Wisconsin, if not most of Wisconsin, does not need that, especially our friends in WAUK listing area in southeast Wisconsin. Continue to keep it here. We'll monitor the situation. But, it's been a wet weekend. Stayed inside, Aaron Zommers, most of the weekend. As I said, I would. It was hippie moving weekend, rubbish sale, sleep on
hippie
the streets.
Christmas,
that's
yeah.
It. Hippie Christmas in Madison this weekend. Lots of the student rent contracts agreements are up 13th, 14th, 15th of August. So, as I said, I did not venture downtown this weekend, did you?
I did not. No. The most notable thing that happened to me is my roommate, who's a Cubs fan, was like, suck it. You guys finally lost and we won. You were only 8 games behind. I'm like, yeah, 8 games. And you know what? I'm so sad that we had a record-breaking 14-game win streak. You know, you just can't win them all.
Right. In case you missed it, as Zommers touched on there, the winning streak finally came to an end for the Brewers. But what a weekend. Friday and Saturday. Fantastic games. We're going to hear the calls. Another unsung, unknown hero, Andrew Monasterio. There we go. I had a brain freeze for a second. Andrew Monasterio was a three-run home run king on Saturday night, got the Brewers the win. It was fantastic. But, yeah, 14 was all the Brewers could muster, as if that's not something.
Longest
14. Winning streak in Milwaukee Brewers franchise history. So that was just a lot of fun. They lost yesterday. Maybe should have won it, but they lost in extra innings yesterday to Cincinnati. The Reds have not lost a series this year, have been swept by a series, I should say, this year. Only team, I believe, in Major League Baseball to accomplish that. Brewers right now in the first game of a doubleheader on many of our stations across the network on the Brewers Radio Network. Brewers down in Chi-Town and taking on the Cubbies. And last check, I did not see a score, although I think my feed is a little bit behind. So I'll update that, and I will give you the current score here in just a minute. Oh, the Brewers are up. Brewers are up 1-0 in the bottom of the third. So there you go. We'll continue to monitor that. The Brewers across the over-the-air signal. We cannot stream them on the app, but over-the-air signal on many of these fine Civic Media stations. So Brewers starting off a 5-game series in Chicago today. Going to go a long way, as Zommer said. Brewers up 8 right now on the Cubs and trying to make it 9 by the end of this first game. We shall see. Busy, busy day. Glad to have you along with us. Lots to get to in hour number 2. Going to talk about oil pipeline going through parts of northern Wisconsin, what that means to people up there and the entire state. Going to be talking to some people from Clean Wisconsin in hour number 2 on that. And coming up here at the bottom of this hour, going to be talking with one of the great reporters at Wisconsin Watch, Noe Goldhaber. It's going to be here. And this is interesting. Headline, budget deal, i.e. the state budget deal, deals $15 million in earmarks for Robin Voss's district, highlighting the politicization of Wisconsin's conservation funding. So as you know, one of the things I care a lot about, conservation, and the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund was not funded in this budget, I believe, for the first time. Couldn't find the money. $4 trillion surplus, couldn't find the money. $4 billion, sorry. That'd be quite something. $4 billion surplus in the state budget, and they couldn't find any money for the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. But somehow, they found $15 million for Robin Voss's district. We'll find out what's popping with Robin Voss at the end of at the bottom part of this hour. Also, a little what's worse for you coming up here in hour number two as well. And of course, your phone calls at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Oh, and this across the wires this morning. News Maxi Pad. Newsmax. You know that the right wing organ. Now remember, here a while back, Fox News paid like 87 or almost a trillion, or yeah, 800 and some odd million, almost a billion dollars.
Right.
800 and some million dollars Fox News paid out in a defamation lawsuit because they lied about the 2020 election because they claimed it was rigged and all that turned out wasn't true. This is the thing. When you go into court depositions under oath where there's penalty of being jailed if you're proven to be a liar, people tend to tell the truth. And it turned out that Fox admitted, no, we're an entertainment company. Hannity had to admit, no, I made that up just to get ratings, and it wasn't true. Well, here now, another right-wing news organization, News Maxi Pad. No, just News Mac. I like that. News Maxi Pad, because there's a lot of stuff to clean up on that show.
You're not wrong.
If you watch it. News Max is now having to pay out their own settlement. $67 million to settle a lawsuit accusing it of defaming a voting equipment company by spreading lies about President Donald Trump's 2020 election loss. So there you go. Once again, when you get people in a court, in depositions, under oath, with penalty of being jailed, they tend to tell the truth.
Are you telling me that Newsmax has had misleading information on their broadcasts?
It appears that's what they. I don't know why they'd pay $67 million if they didn't. But yeah, that turns out to be the case. But here's where I want to start today. And this was, I was going to start somewhere else. There is another very serious story over the weekend in both the Wisconsin State Journal and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the University of Wisconsin Athletic Department. And hopefully we can get to that tomorrow. Because you guys know, people that listen to this show, fewer bigger Badger fans than me. But it's really, this story is really important, and it accuses the former Badger women's basketball coach. Five former players now have joined a lawsuit against Coach Mosley for verbal abuse and creating bad mental health conditions. And also, I believe the former assistant athletic director, Justin Daugherty, is accused in this lawsuit as well. Really serious stuff. And we're going to get to that, like I say, tomorrow. But breaking news here in the last hour and a half or so, and I want to get to this. There was a press conference this morning in the White House in Washington, D.C., in the Oval Office. President Donald Trump, along with Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. As you might recall, the last White House meeting between the two did not go great. Lots of consternation and conflict. Donald Trump met with Russian President Putin on Friday in Alaska to negotiate the end of the war against Ukraine. Essentially, it was a big nothing burger. Really, nothing came out of that meeting except embarrassment. And oh, by the way, Trump administration officials left classified meeting notes on a HP printer in one of the hotel rooms.
You can't make this stuff
up. You can't make it up. So there's that. But really, I mean, it was just an embarrassment for American foreign policy. It gave Trump legitimacy or Putin legitimacy. It was a terrible look for the United States in the world environment. So anyway, Trump decided to invite Zelensky to the White House today. And by the way, other European leaders. So this time it's not just Zelensky. The other leaders were not in the Oval Office for this dog and pony show. But I think the UK, Germany, other France, other leaders are here as well. I watched it on CBS, the special report, and I watched the post-game show, as we might say, with the CBS pundits afterwards. And this is not a knock on those people because executives are the ones that control this stuff, producers at that level. And all they focused on was, again, largely the nothing burger on Ukraine in this meeting. The real news that came out of this was what Donald Trump said about elections in the United States of America. He started off when Zelensky was asked, will you commit to holding elections in Ukraine? And Zelensky said, absolutely. As soon as we end the war, we'll have elections, free, fair elections. Because you can't have a war or you can't have an election that's legitimate if a large portion of your country isn't able to vote because they are being threatened by being killed. Which prompted Donald Trump to jump in. Here's what Trump said a little while ago in the Oval Office about elections in the United States of America in 2028.
Legal elections.
So you say during the war you can't have elections. So let me just say 3.5 years from now. So you mean if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections? Oh, that's good. I wonder what the fake.
You like this idea?
No. Speaking of news, I got a question for you. This sounds insane.
So Trump tried to make a joke out of it. So when Zelensky said, look, we can't have elections right now because we're in the middle of a war, and a lot of our citizens wouldn't be able to vote, so it wouldn't be a legitimate election if you can't have everybody that's eligible vote. Trump used the moment to say, oh, wait a minute, hold on. So what you're saying there, if you're at war, you can't have, so you're saying in 3 years, if we're into something here, we won't be able to have elections. Good. He said good. And then looked out and said, well, how about the press will have a heyday with that or something.
And then Zelensky laughed along, feeling like he had to, and was like, yeah, no.
Because he felt he had to. I have been talking about this on this program for months, all the way back into last year's elections. I believe, Zalmers, keep me honest, that I said if this guy gets a second term, he will do everything he can not to have free and fair elections in this country in order to stay in power. Did I not?
You and other people you've had on this show have said that.
And a lot of people laughed us off and said, oh, you're being extreme. He's just saying things. He's not really serious. We've seen this playbook before on other issues. Donald Trump tries to make a joke about something, then it becomes kind of serious, then it becomes very serious, and then he does it. The fact that the sitting president of the United States in the Oval Office in front of a nationally televised special report would suggest that he is not committed to holding free and fair elections in 2028 is startling and shocking. And the fact that I've been saying this for a long time, that his goal is to have this set up, whether it's Iran, who knows? He wants to have some sort of conflict ready to go so that he can say, wait a minute, all those Democrats who supported Zelensky and you agreed with him that you can't have elections if you're at war? Well, we can't have elections now. Which, of course, is ludicrous. If you look back at all the wars and conflicts this country has been in, we have been able to maintain and continue elections even during wartime. Significant to note that other than the Civil War and the attack on Pearl Harbor, none of those wars have been fought on U.S. soil. We're going to come back because Trump did not stop there. In fact, something even more concerning, in my opinion, and it could have an effect right here in Wisconsin in the 2026 election. We'll hear it in Trump's own words. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on Monday, August 18th. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, Wisconsin Watch reporter Noe Goldhaber is in with a great story from Wisconsin Watch today. Several conservation projects got vetoed by Governor Tony Evers in the last state budget because it earmarked certain projects, but it did not fund the Knowles-Nelson Bipartisan Stewardship Fund, which, of course, has been one of the pet projects of former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson and Democratic Governor Jim Doyle for years. But Republicans did not want to fund it. And Evers, though, did let $15 million in projects go through earmarks, i.e. pork, for Robin Voss. We'll discuss that after the bottom of the hour. Right now, talking about the press conference this morning, the presser, the gaggle, if you will, of national media in the Oval Office. President Donald Trump, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and Trump, the news was not really Ukraine. The news coming out of that meeting was, one, Trump trying to make a joke saying that, hey, if Ukraine, if you're saying Ukraine can't hold elections because they're at war, hey, what if we were at war in 2028? I guess we wouldn't be able to hold elections. And then he said, good. And then he said, well, let's see what the press does with this. Remember Trump's pattern. He jokes about it. Then it's serious. Then he does it. More concerning to me is what he said next, announcing a new executive order. And remember, before we listen to this, remember, current Wisconsin Republican Party chairman, Brian Arthur Schimming, made mail-in early voting a key foundation of the Wisconsin Republican Party election strategy last time around. And I applauded him for it. Hey, I want every eligible United States citizen to vote, and I think it should be made easier to legally vote. And so I thought, hey, you know what? That's great. Good on Schimming and good on Republicans for encouraging more people to vote and for using mail-in balloting, which is 100% legal. Here now, the current president of the United States, Republican Donald Trump, from the Oval Office this morning.
You pushed out on social media about doing away with mail-in ballots and potentially electronic voting machines. Can you expand on that and how important
that is? That's a very off-topic, just really quickly. Mail-in ballots are corrupt. Mail-in ballots, you can never have a real democracy with mail-in ballots. And we, as a Republican Party, are going to do everything possible that we get rid of mail-in ballots. We're going to start with an executive order that's being written right now by the best lawyers in the country to end mail-in ballots because they're corrupt. And you know that we're the only country in the world, I believe, I may be wrong, but just about the only country in the world that uses them because of what's happened. Massive fraud all over the place. The other thing we want change are the machines. For all of the money they spend, it's approximately 10 times more expensive than paper ballots. And paper ballots are very sophisticated with the watermark paper and everything else. We would get secure elections. We'd get much faster results. The machines, I mean, they say we're going to have the results in 2 weeks. With paper ballots, you have the results that night. Most people, many countries use paper ballots. It's the most secure form.
Donald Trump announcing that he is going to sign an executive order banning mail-in voting in the United States of America. He says, quote, you can never have a democracy with mail-in ballots, unquote. That's false, because eliminating mail-in ballots excludes veterans serving overseas, military serving overseas, should say, the elderly and disabled who can't get there, who have to do mail-in ballots. They can't participate in democracy. Trump also says, quote, with paper ballots, you get the results that night, unquote. False. It would take weeks or months to add up all the results. And Trump says, quote, we're the only country in the world that uses them, unquote. False. 22 countries in the world use mail-in ballots. Immediately after he said this, Republican Brian Stile, chair of the House Administration Committee, which oversees federal elections from Wisconsin. After President Trump said he wants to get rid of mail-in ballots and highly inaccurate, very expensive, and seriously controversial voting machines, unquote, Congressman Stile tweeted, quote, American elections should be free, fair, and secure. I look forward to working with President Trump to address concerns and maintain the integrity of our elections, unquote. Brian Stile has bought in hook, line, and sinker to the corruption of suppressing the vote and stealing Americans' elections. I want to get to this last cut here quickly. Here's Trump on saying ending mail-in ballots is more important to him than redistricting.
We got to stop mail-in voting, and the Republicans have to lead the charge. The Democrats want it because they have horrible policy. If you have mail-in voting, you're not going to have many Democrats get elected. That's bigger than anything having to do with redistricting, believe me.
Donald Trump admitted it out loud that, hey, if you don't have mail-in ballots, it's going to be pretty hard for Democrats to get elected. Why? Because people who vote Democratic tend to use mail-in balloting, early voting more. And that's why the chairperson, the chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party, Brian Arthur Schimming, got smart. And he said, wait a minute, if we want to compete with Democrats in Wisconsin, we have to up our early mail-in voting. And he made a real concerted effort to do that, and I applaud him. Now his own president is calling that practice corrupt and saying that he will sign an executive order that ends the practice. Democracy has never been more at risk, my friends, than now. Come back, take a couple of your phone calls. Do not hang up. We see you on the lines. Then talk a little bit about what's popping with Robin Voss. It's the Todd Allbowles Show for the world headquarters of Civic Media on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday, August 18, 35 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Zommers on the board. Going to find out what's happening with what's popping with Robin Voss here in a minute. Very interesting news at the state level. And was Governor Evers complicit in it? We will find out from Wisconsin Watch in just a minute. But I want to finish this up because this is really important. And breaking late this morning, early afternoon, meeting in the Oval Office, Donald Trump with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The premise was this meeting they're having this afternoon with European leaders on trying to find a peace solution in Ukraine after Trump's basic grandstanding meeting in Alaska on Friday with Putin. But the real news, in my opinion, coming out of this meeting was A, Donald Trump making, seemingly trying to pawn it off as a joke about not having elections in 2028 if the United States were involved in a war like Ukraine is in an actual war. Zelensky saying, sure, I'm all for elections, but we have to have peace first. So Trump tried to use that to telegraph that, hey, you know, if we're in a war in 2028, we don't have elections. And then said, quote, good, unquote. Then he went on to say, we played the cup before the break, Trump did, that he's working on and plans to sign an executive order ending mail-in balloting in this country. And saying, well, if you don't have mail-in balloting, it makes it pretty hard for Democrats to win. Which, of course, if you don't have mail-in balloting, makes it also hard for people in nursing homes. Elderly people who use mail-in balloting, absentee balloting. Also makes it hard for active duty military stationed overseas. Also makes it hard for college students and a lot of other folks. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. By the way, Trump also said this issue, ending mail-in balloting, is more important than redistricting for both he and the Republican Party. Let's go quickly, if we can, ask our callers who have been patiently waiting to hold to make it brief as we can, because I want to get to this story on Robin Voss. But we start up in Chippewa Falls area in Eau Claire on WCFW The Tap. Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for calling. What's up?
Important. Thank you for sharing. DJT is the and followers, Republicans, are the weapons of mass deception and destruction of our democracy in America, and people need to wake up. And thank you very much. Great job. Bye.
Thanks, Gina. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Joe listening in Madison on WMDX. Joe, thanks for holding. What say you?
Important to note that Trump raised this idea of an end to mail-in balloting after having this conversation with Putin up in Anchorage, claiming that Putin said that questioned the accuracy and security of mail-in ballots. Note also that Russia allows mail-in balloting. So pretty comical that his dear pal is offering him instructions on how we should run our elections. Who better than Putin to give information on our elections? Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. Really important point. Appreciate that. Yeah, you're absolutely right that Putin did bring this up in Alaska, and apparently Trump got his marching orders. Also important to note, as we did before the break, Wisconsin Congressman Brian Steil, who is the chair of the House Administration Committee, which oversees federal elections, tweeted out after Trump said this, his agreement, his commitment to support President Trump. And according to the Tennessee Holler, a great publication online, U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee tweeted the following, quote, honest, fair elections are the bedrock of our democracy. I stand with President Trump in ensuring our elections have integrity, unquote. And she retweeted his Truth Social post in which he basically said everything that he said in the press conference to get rid of mail-in balloting. Also important to remember that Wisconsin Republican Party Chairman Brian Arthur Schimming committed just last year to doing more mail-in voting, saying that was the way forward. Be interesting, and I invited him on today's show in all sincerity. So we give him time. Have not heard back yet. Let's go quickly to Charles in Milwaukee on WMD AUK. Charles, thanks for holding. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Well, Joe stole my thunder because, yeah, he got that idea from Putin about the mail-in voting, and all of a sudden he's running with it. I don't understand. I don't understand these other politicians that know that it's not true that there is no cheating with mail-in voting. But I guess they're very so scared of him that they'll bend the knees whenever it suits them to try to keep the power. It's all about staying in power and putting other people down. And I'll never understand that about this country.
Yeah. Appreciate the call. Appreciate listening, Charles. Thank you so very much. Rest of the folks, we'll try to get to you in hour two right now. It's 20 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Poppin' with Robin Voss.
Love to hear the Robin go tweet, 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 rockin' Robin. Tweet, tweet, rockin' Robin.
Time once again for our ongoing recurring segment, What's Poppin' with Robin Voss. Glad to have you along, everybody, and glad to have you along with our great reporters from Wisconsin Watch joining me here at the table in our Madison World Headquarters studios. Noe Goldhaber from Wisconsin Watch. Noe, thanks for standing by a couple of minutes there for breaking news. How you been?
Good. How have you been?
Doing absolutely excellent. Thank you very much. The Brewers are still up. Last I checked, by a score of 1-0 on the Cubs. So if the Brewers can pull this first game off, I'll be even happier. Let's get to this really important story of yours. Speaking of breaking news, headline in today's Wisconsin Watch. You can find all of Noe's work and others at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Headline, budget deals $15 million in earmarks for Robin Voss's district highlight the politicization of Wisconsin's conservation funding. So tell us a little bit. I'm just going to read a couple of the lines here and then let you get into it. From your story, sure. It says, after Republican legislators declined to reauthorize the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund in the state budget, Democratic Governor Tony Evers vetoed five natural resources projects, criticizing the legislature for choosing, quote, to benefit the politically connected few, unquote, instead of supporting stewardship throughout the state or through the statewide fund. However, jumping down to the next paragraph, you write, Evers didn't veto other natural resource projects, including two totaling $15 million in Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's district in southeastern Wisconsin, west of Racine. Asked why Evers spared those projects, his spokesperson, Britt Cutterback, referred Wisconsin Watch, without specifics, to the agreement between Evers and the legislative leadership that cemented the $111 billion two-year budget. It's interesting to me that when the governor's office wants something to be known, they're very chatty. And Britt Cutterback loves to talk to the press, but when they're asked pointed questions by good reporters, they don't have a lot to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think she the only two natural resources projects that were in the state budget agreement were both in Voss's district. So I think that, you know, she directed us to the information that kind of got us our answered our questions, but didn't provide specifics on like what went down on negotiations or why that might have been the case.
I mean, from your, and this is great reporting, by the way, kudos to you.
Thanks.
You're very welcome. And I applaud the governor for saying, no, we're not doing a bunch of earmarks here, because I said this at the top of the show. Explain to folks a little bit, if you would, the Noel Nelson Stewardship Fund first. Let's set that as the base. What is that? And it's been bipartisan.
Yeah, it's been bipartisan, and it's been in Wisconsin politics for a long time. I think it started in 1989, so like over 30 years that this program has existed in the state. And it allows like government funding and bonding to be used to purchase state lands for recreation, for stewardship nonprofits to be able to get grants to do that. And yeah, so it's just a longstanding, and I would say, like, polling indicates, pretty popular program in the state that allows our state land to be preserved.
And what's interesting is that 1989, of course, you're one much too young, but Governor Tommy Thompson was governor at the time, and this is a pet project of his. We've had Tia Nelson on this program, the daughter of former governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, and she has lauded the former Republican governor and said, look, this was really important to Tommy. This is really important to Jim Doyle, former Democratic governor, and also Republicans and Democrats in the state legislature.
Yeah, totally.
Did you get any indication in your reporting, Noe, on who killed the funding for Noel Nelson Stewardship Fund in this budget?
It's unclear. I don't have like a concrete answer on what that might would have looked like. I do think it is somewhat notable that the two JFC vice chairs are the ones who introduced the legislation to reauthorize Noel Nelson. So there is a separate bill proposal to reauthorize Noel Nelson in kind of the fall legislative session, even though it didn't come out of the state budget. So Republicans are saying like it wasn't one of the things that we were able to accomplish through the state budget, but we're still committed to doing it in a maybe different capacity than it's been in the past because of the state Supreme Court decision, which I get into a little bit in the article.
Why don't we, by the way, we're talking to Noe Goldhaber from Wisconsin Watch on her great work here, article in wisconsinwatch.org, on the fact that the Noel Nelson Stewardship Fund was not funded in the state budget. Governor Evers vetoed out earmarks, but yet there's a major earmark specifically for Robin Voss's district. Get into that a little bit more. We have a couple minutes here before the break, and then we'll go on.
Sure. So the earmarks in Voss's district?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are two different projects in Voss's district. One is the Echo Lake Dam. It's a dam that's in a 500-year floodplain. And I guess a few years ago, officials in Burlington were thinking about taking out the dam. So it just needs – the dam itself needs some upgrades. It's also on a lake that, you know, needs – some changes as well. And then there's also a dredging project in Voss's district as well that received $5 million. So that's to like get rid of sediment that's impacting, I guess, like recreation and stuff like that. Total of $15 million in the district for these projects.
And look, I'm a big pro-conservation person. I don't know the specifics about these projects. You just laid it out here verbally. You put it in your great piece. I'll take Representative Voss and anybody else at their word. Mm-hmm. These might well be good projects to fund. My interest is, why is it that Speaker Voss's projects are the only ones that got approved and not the Noel Nelson Stewardship Fund, which would have, you know, addressed conservation throughout the state?
Yeah, and that is kind of the article goes into this a little bit, but there's kind of a system of which projects are assessed through Noel Nelson. You know, how close is it to a city center? Because, you know, public recreation is an important aspect of that fund. I'm forgetting all the other criteria, but potential ecological benefits, things of that sort. So the DNR has a scoring system they use to evaluate different projects across the state and figure out which ones would be the best spent money for the state government. And so that's kind of the process that Noel Nelson uses. And obviously earmarks are a different kind of form of that.
We just start this now, and I want to come back to something that I messed up earlier. It's my fault. This state Supreme Court decision complicating this reauthorization for the Noel Nelson. Explain that, and if we don't have time to finish it, we'll finish it on the other side. Go ahead.
Okay, for sure. So the state Supreme Court made a decision not this previous July, but the July before. There used to be this system where legislators on JFC could anonymously block projects that were approved for Knowles Nelson funding. There's a big Wisconsin Watch story about that in our past archives. And the state Supreme Court said that that was like infringing on the approval. Okay.
That's fine. Well, my fault. I asked the question too close to the music. See, we'll come back because this is really important. And I think it just shows the fairness in your reporting. Come back, talk to Goldhaber from Wisconsin Watch. After this, you're listening to a Monday edition of the Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, the top of the hour. News, weather, sports for you. Mike Clemens monitoring the Brewers game at last check. They were still ahead of the Cubs. Down in Chicago, the first game of a doubleheader, 1-0. We'll continue to check on that. Now
2-0.
Now 2, as Albert says. Fantastic. Brewers up on the Cubs 2-0. Clemens will be following that for us and all the other sports. Then an hour 2, a what's worse for you. And then talk about a little pipeline up in the northern Wisconsin and the details on that. Full hour 2, but right now we're honored to be joined here in studio at the desk by Wisconsin Watch's Noe Goldhaber. A great story in today's WisconsinWatch.org. Dial it up on the internet, WisconsinWatch.org. Great story here, Noe, on the fact that in the latest state budget, there was a $15 million earmark for conservation, specifically in Republican Speaker Robin Voss's district. However, the bipartisan Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, started in part by former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, zero funding for that. And the governor vetoed other earmarks, or pork, as we used to call it, for other districts on conservation. But Voss has stayed in there. I really applaud you and Wisconsin Watch for doing honest, balanced, fair reporting, because I think this is an important detail. A state Supreme Court decision complicated the reauthorization of the Knowles Nelson stewardship. I cut you off there going to the break. Explain that, please, for our listeners, because this is really important.
Yeah, totally. So there was a state Supreme Court decision a little over a year ago that basically made it so that the system in which if Knowles Nelson funding was approved through the DNR. So like they said, you know, this district or this project will get $1 million. Legislators on the Joint Finance Committee could block it and get rid of it anonymously. So it wasn't clear even who blocked the project or why. And the state Supreme Court ruled against that and said that that was like legislative overreach. If it was already approved funding through the budget to have that funding out there, that legislators could not veto and use the anonymous pocket veto in that way. So
Joint Finance, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Republican members of the Joint Finance Committee are using that decision and saying that precluded them from including the funding for Knowles Nelson in this budget, or do I have that wrong?
Mostly correct. I think they were saying that they're supportive of Knowles Nelson and what it's done across the state, but that it's kind of given them trust issues because there's less oversight now from legislators over where that funding is going to be dispersed because the mechanism that previously was under, I guess, is illegal now.
And of course, I would say to my former party, that's the way it was before, and we didn't have a problem with it, so I don't understand their apprehension now. But I know you're not here to defend them, but that's just my take to them. In fairness, Republicans, at least many of them on Joint Finance, have said, to your point earlier, that they want to look at separate funding in a separate bill for Knowles Nelson this fall.
Yeah. Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston have introduced legislation to reauthorize Knowles Nelson. It's something that even though it didn't happen in the state budget, which has been the precedent for the last 30 plus years, being Republicans in the majority party have said, you know, we want to do this. We just are going to address it later.
What it looked like to me from an outsider, doesn't work in the building anymore. What it looks like to the average person is that this was kind of, hey, Robin, from the governor, what's it going to take to let you pass this? Why don't I give you $15 million for your district? It looks like a payoff or at least an approval from the governor in order to get an agreement on this budget.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say like what exactly or why it was. Those funds were included. It definitely was asked to both Voss's office and the governor's, but I don't have any greater answer as to why only those funds were included and not others.
As a former political who ran elections, I can tell you when you get these kind of details, it is not surprising nor unexpected that the governor would not run for a third term when you find out things like this. Let's go to this finally here. Some of the people in your story are calling the current situation of no funding for Knowles Nelson currently, quote, unprecedented.
Yeah. So the funding expires at the end of next June. So there's still a little bit of time. And I think that was part of the reason they also said that they weren't going to reauthorize it in this budget. They have time to address it in the fall if they choose to pass budget. But yeah, so we haven't come out of a budget cycle previously without reauthorizing Knowles Nelson when its funding was set to expire. So it is uncharted territory. And because, you know, nonprofits, local governments are trying to plan projects, and Knowles Nelson is a big funding piece in that project, they don't know whether to be able to plan and rely on that funding because it's not set in stone that that's something that's going to be renewed come the fall. So I think for like planning purposes and conservation projects in the state, it kind of has jumbled the landscape a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. And like we've said, in private business, and some of these things do affect private business or in public, the uncertainty. It's what's so difficult for people who actually are trying to work on conservation projects, whether it's a boat dock or a scrape for a water project, whatever it is. So
yeah,
we'll continue to be watching that. Noe, what did I not ask you in a minute that we have left that's important about this story?
It's like the classic journalist ending question. I feel like we hit all of the main points of the story. I think it is important to note that like they do have time. This is going to be a major issue that legislators are going to look to towards in the fall, and also that as people are running for re-election in the next cycle, it's going to be, did you vote to reauthorize Knowles Nelson? So I think this is definitely like an issue that we're going to see continuing, and yeah.
I think that's a great point, because people have thought, well, all the excitement is over in the Capitol now that the budget has passed. We got some ahead politically here after Labor Day when people actually come back to the building.
Right. It's definitely.
It can be very, again, congrats. Great reporting at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Noe Goldhaber, thank you very much for your reporting.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Thanks for coming in. Always great to have you folks here, and encourage everyone to go to wisconsinwatch.org to look at Noe's work and everyone else's as well. Come on back for hour number two, a little what's worse for you on the other side. And then some talking about Northern Wisconsin's pipeline, what crude oil may be going through, or what it means to Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.